you can stand. All right, come on, everyone stand with me as we sing our first song tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die that He might then redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angels host adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name will be our counselor, the mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdom conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. The banner of the cross, 447 is our next song. Sing it with me tonight as we sing. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair we lift it up today, all as ransomed ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross. Though the foe may rage and gather as a flood, let the standard be displayed, and beneath its folds as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell, make the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner. Now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim His own. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross. When the glory dawns, 'tis drawing very near, it is hastening day by day. Then before our King the foe shall disappear, and the cross the world shall sway. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, 'neath the banner of the cross.
Good job of singing tonight. You may be seated. Brian Friend, open us in prayer tonight, please, Brian.
Father God, Lord, we love You. We just want to thank You and praise You, Lord, for today. We've got
Amen. All right, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Andy. Appreciate it. Good to have the friends back, and good Mike and Diane as well, and all kinds of good stuff. And so looking forward to a good week. Just got off the phone with Jan Jakes about Jim Jakes' funeral. They are going to have it on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. It's going to be here at the church Wednesday at 2. So keep that in mind as well and be praying for the Jakes family. And then also Amy Loney goes in this Tuesday, Lord willing, as she's trying to make sure everything's in line. And that's Tuesday still, correct? And so pray for her, if you would. Some others there. And just pray for one another. Kind of look online as well to see what's going on. A lot of stuff happening, without a doubt. Spring break coming up here pretty soon. All that kind of fun stuff. But our spring revival and Easter are coming up. And we have for years now put those two together on purpose. So it's not on accident. But I've noticed that people just get a little bit more spiritual-minded, think about spiritual things, or religious things at least, during Easter time. And so several years back, we just said, you know, why not go ahead and keep thinking about that? And so we started having a revival during that time, and usually the week before, starting with Passover, and just kind of get us ready, and then a big Easter service. We'll do that again this year. I've enjoyed that just from the aspect we kind of have a week to really think about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And now we're doing kind of a missions emphasis as well. We'll have at least one missionary during that time. And just reminding us of the Great Commission, of why he died and what it's all about. And so you want to be a part of that. That's a good time. There will be, as Brother Lynn said today, a children's ministry. Brother Dave Young is bringing his son Jake. He's interning with them. They'll do a children's program each evening. And they'll start out in here. There'll be a dismissal time. And they'll go back there kind of like in Awana's or VBS time. And so forth. And so keep that in mind. So if you're thinking about, I don't know if we can come, the kids won't be able to handle it. They will. And so it'll be good, worth it. And as we said, I tell you what, we just need those spiritual renewal times. Let's just be honest. It's an important time in our life. And so I know it takes a little bit extra scheduling, and it's going to add a Monday and a Tuesday night. No bonus points for Sunday or Wednesday. Sorry. No, those are normal. So the bonus points come on Monday and Tuesday night. And that's that extra time you're setting aside in the evening to come. And I tell you what, God honors that. It's always a blessing, and you'll get something out of it. So if you mark your calendars, look at that, as well as Easter, it'll be a blessing time for sure. So a lot going on. You want to pay attention. We're hitting into spring. All the fun stuff. Kids are starting to gear up for camp, and I noticed they're picking up candy bars and all that kind of fun stuff, and doing all that. And so I appreciate the church and their involvement and all that, and just helping the kids, and hope you'll be praying about camp as well. And so I'm going to bring Andy up. Let him lead us in a few more songs this time, but good to see everybody out this evening as well.
Stand with me if you would. Living by Faith, page 34. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. Storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm saved, if Jesus walks close to my side. Living by faith in Jesus above, song tonight, The Old Rugged Cross. Age 56, if you need your books tonight. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. So despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I cherish the till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, T'was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last die. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Singing, maybe sing.
Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate that. We're back in 1 Kings. It'll be chapter 4 this evening. If you want to turn over there, we'll be there in just a minute as we get started naturally. And so good to have everybody out tonight and back as we get back into the Word of God. And really just starting out, of course, I brought a book with me. And most of you, if you've probably been a reader of any type, you've probably read some type of what I would call a self-help book of some sort. They've been really popular the last 20, 30 years, without a doubt. But one that's probably been around a lot that has helped a lot of people are books that were written about people who have done well. For instance, probably the most famous one to me is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And that's an older book, and I can't remember the author at this point. It's been out a long time. But they basically took people that had been very successful in business and worldly adventures, that one was, and they kind of began to narrow down through interviews and talking to them different things that were just the same, and they put them together. And those things would be like get up early was one of them. They that rise early and get a lot of things done early. And so they just put those together and said these are the common character traits of those things. And there's many. I think one of the books out today is Atomic Habits. We're probably along that line. Some of you have read that, and I know it's a favorite of a lot of people. And so you have those type of books. I read one by Admiral McLaren, I think it is, if I've got his name right, Williams. But he wrote a book called Make Your Bed. And basically things he learned from the Navy. And so he gave little tidbits from a speech that he gave and put that in a little book form. So you have things like that. This one here I brought is Habits of Highly Effective Churches. And so even in the religious realm, there are books along that line, and they'll take churches and they'll evaluate them, and they'll come up with things that make those churches really well or effective in their communities and so forth. I tell you that they're good things. I think you can learn from them. I think obviously every situation is different, and you got to apply things there. But the point is, you can learn from people who have done things well, and really that concept's been around a long time. If you read biographies, for instance, I grew up like George Mueller, Adoniram Judson, famous missionaries, people like that. We'd read them, and it was always fascinating because you'd learn some very interesting things about their lives. And if you start reading a lot of those, you'd also see correlations between them of why God used them in such a great way. You might see their passion, their prayer life, their drive. I mean, various things that you would look at them and say, wow, I mean, they were dedicated in these areas. You'd also see weaknesses, and I think on the flip side, you'd see things of, wow, here was a negative thing that you don't want to follow. You know, maybe some of them lost their families, you know, and didn't bring their families along and things like that. But either way, good or bad, you're able to look at them and say, these are some character traits, some things I'd want to follow or not follow. I tell you that because we're getting ready to read 1 Kings chapter 4, and it is a list of names. It's almost as bad as Leviticus. You know, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I know the answer. How many of you skip some of those chapters in Leviticus? And here's the thing. I will be my first one to put up my hand. You said, preacher, you've actually skipped those chapters. Yes, I have. You know, and I quit looking at me that way. I mean, it's like, I can't believe he did that. I didn't say I always did it. I said I've done it before. As you get to listening, going, here, there's a list of names. You got to be kidding me. But you have to go back and realize God has a purpose and a reason for that. It's not arbitrary. Now, to us, it may seem so. And as a preacher, it's difficult, you know, because I'm trying to figure out and dig deep and find what in the world are you trying to tell us and how does this apply, you know? So it's a very difficult thing. So there may just be a small nugget tonight is all I can tell you, okay? Because we have this long list of names. But here is what I got out of it. As I studied this week and I began to look at it, and before we stand and read, I'm thinking the previous chapter and what we went over this morning, we talked about the wisdom of Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. And then this chapter is coming up. It's kind of a quick overview of his reign. And he's going to mention some of the people he puts in different positions and his leadership, his organization. And it's not so much a timeline as we're going to look at there, but it's just kind of an overview of this was Solomon, this is what he did. Here's some leaders there. And in the midst of that, as I began to look at that, here's what came to my mind. that I got out of it in my study, and it came to this. What can we learn from the wisest man on planet Earth? And if God puts this chapter here, there's got to be something in there that he wants for us. There's got to be. I mean, we just can't go, oh, well, here's a whole bunch of names. And so I believe we found that. Some things we can copy or learn from Solomon in this passage here. So let's stand as we look at 1 Kings chapter 4. We'll do some reading and all the way down a little ways here. First of all, the way that I pronounce the names are correct to me. And so remember the Napoli and Napoli situation. So that'll just help you out real quick. And I'm not going to claim that I practiced all these and that I'm going to say every one of them right. The likelihood is small, so you're just going to have a lot of grace. Please keep the giggling down to a bare minimum, you know, if you would. And if you giggle too loud, I might have you come up and read all the names. How's that? You know, I know we go to Heartland Baptist Bible College, and they always have the guy that reads everybody's names, and oh, man, some different ones. And I'm always sitting up there at graduation going, thank you, Jesus, I do not have that job. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty certain I would turn it down. If they said, hey, preacher, nope. No, would you just, nope. We just want you to read, no. You know why? I mean, it's just amazing. So we will attempt this, and I'm also going to recommend you not name your kids these names. That'll probably help out too. Verse 1, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. And these were the princes that he had: Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest, Elihoreb, and Ahai, the sons of Shisha, that's a good one, scribes, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers, and Zabud, the son of Nathan, thank you for Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend. And Ahishar was over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, was over the tribute. And Solomon, another nice name, had 12 officers over all Israel, was provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month and a year made provision. And here it is, and these are their names. The son of Hur, and a good one, in Mount Ephraim, the son of Dekar, in Makaz, and in Shalbim, and in Beth-Shemesh, and in Elobeth Hanan, the son of Hesed, in Aruboth. To him pertained Sochah, and all the land of Hefer, the son of Abinadab, and all the region of Dor, which had Tapa, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. Bana, not Banana, the son of Ahilud, to him pertained Tanakh and Megiddo, and all Beth-Shean, which is by Zartana beneath Jezreel. From Beth-Shean to Abel-Mehiloah, even the place that is beyond Jokneam, the son of Geber, the Ramoth Gilead. To him pertain the towns of Jair, the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead. To him also pertain the region of Argob, which is in Bashan, 70 great cities with walls and brazen bars. And Ahinadab, the son of Iddo, had Mahanaim. And Ahimaaz was in Napoli. That was free. He also took Bashmath, the daughter of Solomon. If you weren't at the servants' banquet, you have no idea what's taking place, okay? And Bana, the son of Hushai, was in Asher and in Eloth. Jehoshaphat, the son of Peruah, in Issachar. Shimei, the son of Elah, in Benjamin. Geber, the son of Uri, was in the country of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan. And he was the only officer which was in the land. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. We thank you once again for your word, the truths that lie therein. And Lord, even as we see this overview here, I pray, Lord, as we can glean a few insights tonight for a few minutes. Lord, we know this. We can just be blessed even by the reading of your word. Your word does not return void. I'm amazed how it does a work in our hearts, and even often, not so much what the speaker is saying, but what your Holy Spirit is doing in individual hearts. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We're just glad we could be here tonight, Lord, and spend some more time together. And so, Lord, we pray you'd at least bless that time. Bless our meeting afterwards, Lord, as the men get together, Lord, and as we pray and seek your face and your will, Lord, and even for different expansions and different things to do, that, Lord, that you would just, Lord, you guide as only you can. Lord, we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Woo! Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You have no idea if it was right or wrong. Right now, every English teacher is going, C minus, maybe. You know, and going through there. Amen. Well, I looked at this. I want to break down a few things here. And again, you see the difficulties of some passages. And I don't try to avoid difficult passages. So we jump right into them and get what we can out of them without a doubt. But I just took some observations. I'm going to share with them first, and I'm going to share some concluding thoughts for you. Go to verse 2, first and foremost. We know verse 1 talks about Solomon being king over all Israel. Really, the significance of that is the fact that as Solomon reigned, he's just saying, hey, over everywhere. You know, David at the beginning was just for a little bit, for 7 years, did not have all of Israel. But Solomon starts out with everybody, and for his full reign, he does that. And that becomes unique. Because if you remember right after him, Rehoboam, and the kingdom divides again. And so you have a unique time where Solomon's reigning over all the tribes at one time. But then you go to verse 2, and these were the princes which he had, Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest. Now, what's significant about this and that I like is he started with the priest. And that's, I don't think it's by mistake. You say, why? God doesn't make mistakes. As a matter of fact, when you read through here, there's several times there are names given that are related to priests, or either they are priests or sons of priests that he appoints. And I began to look at that and see, like in verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 14, and we think maybe verse 15. Of those areas, we see this. And I think here's what it is. There's value. Even God-fearing, how should I say, non-God-fearing leaders saw value in spiritual people. Are you aware of that? I mean, if you go back and look at Daniel and the rulers that ruled, Daniel served under, and Darius and Cyrus and all these people, they recognized, man, this guy's got the Spirit of God. And they put him in the highest position. And so I see Solomon here kind of taking that same line where he recognizes there's something special. And I just want to say, there ought to be about religious people. And let me take it a step further. There ought to be something special about Christians. Okay, now there's always two sides to that. I get sometimes they don't want us around at all. I've talked to people, and I know my dad ran into this. He was at a workplace, and he didn't fit it, and they really asked him to leave because he didn't fit in. And the only reason he didn't fit in was he was a Christian. He wouldn't go out to work afterwards, go drinking with them and partying with them, and he was a family man. And literally, they came to him and says, you don't fit into this place. Okay, but that's a rarity. Normally, when you have somebody who's spiritual, set an example, any good boss realizes, man, we're going to benefit from this. So it really becomes a benefit, not a negative. And so I see Solomon starting out with that and beginning with that. Then in verse 3, I like this too. He lists Elihoreph and Ahiah, the sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilead, the recorder, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoda. And you go down to a couple more. If you know the history, these were associates of King David. In other words, not only did he make sure there was these religious people there, but then his dad's friends, his dad's leaders, he kept in place. Matter of fact, they knew the kingdom better than anybody. Remember, he was a young man. And he says, instead of wiping all these people out, we'll get to Rehoboam later. And remember, he's kind of like doing away with the old and say, forget about them. But this guy keeps them. So I thought that was interesting too. So we see this religious significance. We see him gaining and keeping some of David's associates. It goes down just a little bit further. I took this note, and then look at verse 11 with his daughters. So we know this is an overall, because it's not at the beginning of his reign, all of this, because he would have to have time to have children, of course, then become old enough. But look at verse 11, and it says in verse 11, and I think also in verse 15, if I'm not mistaken, the son of Abinadad and all the region of Dor, which had Tophath, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. And again, in 15, it says that he gives his daughter to another one of the leaders. Now, you got to remember, in their custom, often the daughters would be given, obviously, to other nations to create alliances. What's unique here is he's giving his daughters to men in his kingdom that are ruling and kind of solidifying. Matter of fact, one commentator said that he's solidifying his authority and his reign. You know why? Well, you just married the king's daughter. There's a great loyalty there. There's a great connection there that's going to be there. Why? They're now family. So these leaders over these regions also become family to Solomon. Plus, probably the other thing is he had so many wives and kids, he probably had enough to still give away to other people. How's that? May I remind you, 1,000 women and a whole bunch of kids. There was a lot going on there. But it was interesting that God put in there to just kind of connect there. And then I saw this. And again, these are just some overall observation. besides rewarding the faithfulness there, that was there, in verse 12, he delegated the responsibility to various leaders. And we're not going to go back and read them again, but we start there, and he just begins listing all these leaders. And so I'm looking at this, and I see this conglomeration. I see this emphasis on the priests are highlighted there, and I see this emphasis on his dad's associates that were there, and I see this rewarding and this faithfulness there, and I see this organization, I see this order, and all these are good things. In fact, we could probably stop and write a book from Solomon, probably had several of them on how to run a kingdom, you know, and do it really well. But for the average person sitting in Ponca City, Oklahoma, right about now, you're saying, and what in the world does that mean to me? You know, and that's an excellent question, because in preaching, that's always a big question. What does it mean to me? What do I get out of it? Thanks for the history lesson. It was a very short one. You didn't even go into detail, you know, but what in the world am I going to get out of this? I'm so glad you asked. Would you bear with me for a few minutes? I began to pray over this and look at this, and here's what came to my mind. Now, you may find something different. You can text me later or send me an email and say, hey, I found this. This is really good. So if you ever preach this again, please add this because you missed it. That's fine with me. I'm totally with you, okay? You know, please do the research. It's great. But for me, as I observed it, here's what came to mind. First thought that came to my mind was this. I went all the way back, and I began to look at these names and how they talk about the priest and the son of the priest. And I put this down. If the wisest man ever is going to make sure that he's going to prop up his kingdom and the people in important leadership positions are going to be priests and religious people, can I tell you? It has to mean this. Spirituality matters. Spirituality matters. The reality of this, being spiritual is a big thing. And the fact that this wise man would stop and recognize spirituality. All I can tell you is this. You want to get ahead in life. You don't do it the way of the world. The way the world is pushing yourself and patting yourself on the back and jumping over other people and pushing other people down and you know, it's all about me. Let me help you. We are so indoctrinated into a crazy world today. It's a me, me, me world. And I want to help you. You want to get into this book. You want to learn something? Get close to God. Become spiritually minded. Walk in the Spirit, as Romans 8 says. Do those things that are spiritual. And then if you go back and study and you look at spiritual people, who they didn't even have a heart to lead. You do understand that, right? Most of the people that were in leadership, they didn't want the job. Moses, I don't want the job. Why do you think God sent Aaron? It wasn't because Moses was going, oh, hey, man, thank you so much. He's like, I don't want to do it. And he's like, I don't speak well. And God's like, take Aaron with you as well. You know, and Moses is like, okay, we'll go do that. I mean, these weren't people jumping out saying, pick me, Daniel. Daniel was a captive, okay? That's all. Joseph, we were studying Joseph in school. Joseph, again, captive, sold into bondage. He's now in Egypt as a captive. There's no aspirations in his mind of this. One day I'm going to rule this place. You know, what did he do? He just got close to God. I mean, look at Daniel. When they talk about Daniel, it says the Spirit of God was in him. I just talked to the teenagers about this and having the favor, you know, of God and what that means of being blessed. And they just had the Spirit of God in him. And Joseph had the Spirit of God in him. Spirituality matters. We're getting ready to go into revival, and I can only emphasize this. I appreciate Solomon recognizing that. I appreciate a wise leader, and there's no detail given, and I get that. There's not like this long list, but I don't miss the fact that it wasn't at the end of the list. God's a God of war. He knows what he's doing. Okay, and he's given us a listing. It's just kind of a random list, we would say, but nothing's random with God. But we see Solomon's thinking. He's going, you know what? I'm going to make sure I got some key positions here. People that are spiritual. People that are spiritual. And the fact of the matter, I think it just encourages us, folks. Let's be spiritual people. Let's be spiritual people. Spiritual people are a blessing. Again, I don't want to re-preach the message, but secondly, I wrote down this. Not only should you be spiritual, but surround yourself with spiritual people. You know, when I was teaching the young people in chapel this week, we were in Genesis chapter 39, 1 through 6, and again, just talked about Joseph having favor, but one of the phrases in there that I didn't major on with them, but I'll major on with you all, is basically everything that happened in Potiphar's house turned out great, and he recognized why, because of Joseph. No, he recognizes. So we were talking to the high schoolers and the CBA about being blessed and gaining favor and that. What we didn't go into was, can I tell you, not only do you want to do that, but can I tell you, you want to surround yourself with people who God is blessing. Let me help you. Spiritual people. You do.
You can go through Scripture and you see that in Joseph's life, and you see Potiphar, and like, matter of fact, the Bible, if you go back in verse 6, Potiphar didn't even know what was happening in his house. I mean, God was blessing him so much, it was going so good. You go back and read it, and he trusted Joseph, which he should, so much. And we know this guy was so good that even after he was lied about by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, you go back and read it, it's in the same chapter. A few verses later after he's in prison, he's running the prison. Now think about that. I mean, the guy in charge is giving him the keys, going, take care of everything, man. Why? Well, he's a spiritual man. And not only that, but God's blessing him. And each of these people became blessed because of him. Anywhere these guys went. And I thought about that. I went back and read about Jacob and Laban. What a great story. For 20 years, 21 years, Laban is getting rich. And he knows who his cash cow is. He's looking, and it's son-in-law Jacob. I mean, all these times he tried to rip him off. And every time he tried to rip him off, you go back and read the story in Genesis, God blessed Jacob. Laban was smart. He did not miss that. And as he changed the designation, he says, now we want the spotted cows. They'll be mine. And then all of a sudden, they weren't spotted anymore. He goes, okay, now I want the plain cows. Now they were all spotted. You know, and he didn't miss. Something's happening here. And he's like, wait a minute. It's him. Now, he was still blessed by it. Oh, he was blessed big time, because when Jacob left, he goes, chases him down. And you may say, well, he chased him down because he's family. No, he chased him down because he realized the cash cow's leaving. Okay, I've been blessed and rich, and my family's been blessed because this guy's been here for 21 years, and we've all grown. And that's how it happened. Can I help you? Those are great principles. You want to know why Solomon was so good? You realize there was peace throughout his whole reign? Are you aware of that? The only king, there's no wars. There's no fighting. The guy surrounded himself with spiritual people. Can I help you? Surround yourself with spiritual people. No. Surround yourself with spiritual people. Folks, you need spiritual friends. We preach this all the time at youth camps. Galatians 5:7 is just a key verse. I will harp it sometime at youth camp, but probably needs it all the time. You'll probably hear me quote it half a dozen to a dozen times here. And if you're paying attention to the message, it'll go something like this. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So you did run well. But what happened? Well, I tell you what one of the great problems is influenced by other people. We're living in a very influential world. I mean, you can get online. You can get rich being an influencer. Are you aware of this? You know, if I thought I could do it, I'm in. You know, but I think we're late to the game. But I think you get on, Instagram and TikTok and all these places, and there's people, full-time job. Are you ready? Full-time job is producing videos for you to watch. Okay, you say, you're against that? No, I'm jealous. So you're saying that if I was good enough, I could produce videos for 3 hours a day and do whatever I want the rest and be filthy rich? I'm in! You say, why don't you do it, preacher? Not talented enough. That would be number one. No one's following. Okay, but they're influencers. They literally, and they get paid to recommend certain products. Why? Because you listen to them. Now, we've always had influence. No, but listen, I'm telling you, there is no greater influence we have today than social media. I mean, it is all over the place. And we've watched young men that we know in the ministry change directions, change beliefs. And I'm 100% convinced it's influences. Influences. As they start talking to somebody online, somebody miles and miles away, and they start privately talking, and they do this for several years and keep going through that, all of a sudden one day, they've changed. You're like, what happened? I don't have to know specifically, but this is what I know. Somebody influenced them. No, somebody influenced them. The fact of the matter is because we can connect like that. Now, folks, that's used for a negative, but why can't we use that for a positive? Why can't we make sure we're surrounding and connecting ourselves with spiritual people? Okay, can I tell you, you need that in your life. No, we need that in our life. The fact of the matter is, you want to, first of all, be spiritual. And the second thing I'd say this, you want to connect with spiritual people. Man, get around them. I'm a firm believer, as I've said in Joseph, it just rubs off. How can I say that? And it rubs off. You call it being lucky, it's not. Man, if I'm around somebody and good things are happening, it just falls into your lap. Can I just say that? If you're blessed to have somebody in your family that God blesses, thank Jesus. Quit being jealous. Some of you are so jealous. Everything she does turns out. Guess what? Follow her. Follow. man, we got a Starbucks. And they're like, oops, made a mistake. Here, have an extra one. That never happens to me. Well, go with her. If she got an extra one, who gets it? How hard is this, folks? Is that hard? We drive into Walmart. There's always a close spot. Ride with them. You know, people are getting mad and jealous. I'm like, no. I don't get mad and jealous. I'm like, you're my friend. Now, I'm going to connect with you. Why? Good things happen. It's like, I like to travel. I mean, I like to travel, but I don't like to travel with people with bad luck. So if you're like, oh, every time I travel, I remember, oh, man, it was years ago, Jen Biddinger, I can't think of her name right now, last name. Johnson now, yes, it's always Biddinger, but she married Ben, great guy, and but when she came, she had an intern here like 25 years ago. She'd been like 10 wrecks, and they weren't her fault. No, seriously, they were not her fault. And she's telling me about these wrecks. She's with this person, got in a wreck. This person got in a wreck. And she's telling me all this. And then one day she's like, hey, you want to ride with me? That's never happening. I sat her down, and I was serious. You know, I know usually I'm not, but I'm serious and laughing at the same time. I go, listen, if your car breaks down, you can't borrow mine. Her car broke down. You're not borrowing mine. No, it's not going to happen. Matter of fact, I don't want you riding with my kids. Okay? They're not allowed. But they weren't my fault. No, honey, I get it's not your fault. But can I tell you? You're a magnet. Okay, I've been driving way longer than you. I've never been in a wreck. Not one. 20, 25,000 miles a year. No wrecks. At this time, she's like 22, 23. 10? 10 wrecks? And I don't care if you've never caused a one. Can I tell you? You're bad luck. To this day, I just won't ride with her. It's done. Okay? Now reverse that. I'm just saying, good or bad, I want to be around people. If I know, hey, this is going good, I don't want to travel with someone who always loses their luggage. It's like every time I fly, I lose luggage. Okay. What flight you taking? we're all going to here together. We're not together. Yeah, all my planes get delayed. Flying American? I'll be going Southwest. I want to go with you. That's not happening. You right? Well, I mean, isn't that true? I mean, you have some people, it's like a cloud falls on them. I'm going to love them, but I want to rub off. So why are you going to be around someone that's like, bad things are always happening? And not just the fun stuff, but because they're making bad choices. And it's like, you ever hear of being in the wrong place at the wrong time? You know what some of that is? Is influence. I mean, how many stories do we know of somebody that, I mean, life cut short or major injury, something happened, and they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Who are they hanging out with? I know some of that just happens. I get that. But I'm talking about there's a lot of times you're looking at going, well, really, I know they didn't do anything wrong, but who, where you at? Who are you with? You know, for a lot of times, I get it's not everything, and I get that. But the principle is there. I think the principle is there. For good and bad, surround yourself. The guy put around himself really good leaders. And when we read his story, you're going to find it's prosperous. It's great. And yes, it's because of wisdom, but wisdom said surround yourself with good people. He's got family, he's got friends, he's got his dad's friends, he's got all these people. Which reminds me, and I love this. We're talking about friends, and Proverbs 27, verse 10 says this, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. So besides being spiritual, surrounding yourself with spiritual people, my final thought would be this, and along that line, as I'm looking at all this, and I just see this. The man was smart enough to secure lasting and key relationships. You ever heard the old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Now, as much as you want to fight that, can I help you? It's real. No, it's real. Now, that's not saying don't learn anything. People get so mad at stuff like that. It's like, well, I mean, I work just as hard as this person, and yet they get the promotion, or this happens to them. And it's because they're like buddy buddies. There you go. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I mean, come on. You can fight as much as you want, but connections matter. I'm going to help you real quick. I don't ever believe in making connections in an improper or wrong way. That's not what it is. But what he says is here, forsake not thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. Let me share a couple things with you. We're living in a weird society right now. I mean, you see stuff, but it's like there are certain times and certain cultures things are just bigger. I mean, it's not like it's never been there. Let me explain. When it comes to family and friendships, You would think people would be closer because of all the social media and connection, and they're not in general. They're not. It's a weird thing. We're so used to doing this that we have a hard time doing this and talking. Just have a difficult time. We'll do really good with this sometimes, but not with this. So what's happening is relationships are becoming a problem. You remember when you used to go get a job and your mom and dad would say, hey, put on a suit and tie and go talk to them. What? You don't do that. Well, let me tell you how relationships work. I had to go in for a doctor's appointment, and the doctor hadn't called back yet, and so we just happened to be in the area, and I was getting another test done. Brent and I like to get tests done, and so 6-7 years ago, I did one of those heart scans, so it was time for another one. You should know I won, but anyways, and that was free, and so they do the scan, they show it to you. Well, there's another doctor I was supposed to see, and they hadn't got back with me, and so my wife's like, hey, let's just go up and ask them. I'm like, you don't do that nowadays. Everything's online. And it's like, no, let's just go up. So we go upstairs. We go to the doctor. Nice receptionist there. She's eating lunch. We're like, hey, referral was turned in. How you doing? She looks it up real quick. And that was on Wednesday of last week. And she's like, well, you're in Ponca. Well, actually come to Ponca City. We could kind of see you there. Oh, that'd be great. When you're available. She goes, let me call. So she calls right where we're standing there. She goes, is tomorrow at 10:15 okay? And she hangs up. She goes, that never happens. No, that never happens. You know, it's going to be a month or two. I mean, you just don't get in the next day. And I'm like, Jesus. And Brenda. I mean, what's she doing? She's like, hey, let's go talk face-to-face to this person and see what we can get. And that lady makes a personal phone call instead of just a name and a list. Why? Folks, that's been working for generations. That's not new. But we're in a society right now, I got to get a text, got a phone call back. No. Listen, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Here's a couple thoughts. I've just not seen it so bad. People are abandoning their family and friends more than I've ever seen before. You say, what do you mean? No, it's a weird phenomenon. Rather than trying to cultivate and secure friendships, I don't know what's driving it, but there's this cutting people off, shunning beyond imagination that I won't talk to somebody that's a family or been a friend for 20 years because of some offense in my mind that rather than going and talking to them and doing what the Bible says, you know, working things out, pretty simple. But rather than doing that, it's like this, done. What do you call it? Ghosting them, not talking to them. No, I'm talking about all over the place. You know how many grandparents I've heard, even inside of Central Baptist Church, people attending, that have come to me in tears, crying, or texting, saying, would you pray? Why? I don't get to see my grandkids. I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, I don't get to see my grandkids. What do you mean don't get to see your grandkids? Well, yeah, you know, for whatever reason, my daughter or my son-in-law or son, they're upset about something. I mean, it's not even clear. I mean, I'm not sure what I did. I tell you what you did, you're just old and we irritate people. How's that? No, I'm saying it's just the weirdest thing, or like some offense that happened sometime. And it's not, now this thing lingers. I know everybody's exception, so don't get mad at me, but here we go. And I'm like, so my grandkids can't see their grandparents. No, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about a lot. Now, you would be surprised of how often I hear this, how often a private prayer request is, would you pray about this? And I'm like, what in the world is happening? Let me just break this down for you. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. I say, there's some security in friendships. You say, why? There's security in family. It's never going to be perfect, folks. You can't tell me in that list with Solomon and everybody he appointed, everything went perfect. But it was very strategic. And he brought in David's relations. If you go back in there, some of his brothers, okay, marries his daughter. He's got all these connections. He's securing people. And he has like one of the best reigns ever because he's got all this loyalty and friendship. But we're living a day saying, I don't need you. Let me help you. You don't know that. You don't know that. I think God knows a little bit better when he's saying, hey, you might want to secure those friends and those relationships. Now, I think you might want to secure that rather than cutting it off. You may not like everything that's going on, but folks, we're Christians. We're supposed to love our enemies? Are you kidding me? Man, I've grown up and not all of our family is saved, and I wouldn't agree with everything our family is doing,
But man, they're welcome in our house. And my grandma came. She's passed away. My grandma used to smoke. We don't smoke at our house. And we didn't want the boys around it. And so grandma came, a longtime smoker. And I'm having to have that awkward conversation with grandma. And I didn't call her and say, I'm sorry, grandma, you can't come to visit us because I live in a church parsonage. And I know Jesus and you're not allowed in. Sounds pretty weird, doesn't it? So grandma came and said, grandma, we want you to stay with us. And I said, but here's the situation. Our boys are little and we teach them that smoking is bad. And if they see you smoking, we're going to think negative of you because they've been at Walmart going, oh, look, daddy, bad, bad, bad. Which is really dangerous with big people. But anyway, but I'm just saying that's the way it works. And I remember pulling grandma aside and saying, man, if you don't mind, if you go outside or somewhere when the kids aren't around, why? Because we don't agree with that, but we love you. You see what I'm saying? We've had family come that I know, immoral, ungodly. You're welcome. We're Christians. Now, we don't want you doing those activities in our house and stuff like that, but I'm not going to abandon you. Why? Well, your family. Maybe your friends. I'm not going to partake, but I'm going to love you like Jesus did. But we're in a culture right now, it's like, I won't talk to you. I want nothing to do with you. Here we go. And I'm thinking, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I see a very wise man here, and I'm thinking, man, Solomon's kind of got it. Folks, you never know when you're going to need anybody. You know why you should live in kindness? I'm not talking about manipulation. But this attitude, if I don't need anybody, that's not the way God designed it. That's not the way God designed it. You don't think you need somebody right now. You don't think you need somebody. You think you're so independent and self-sustaining while you have good health and stuff right now. What happens if that changes? What if that changes overnight? Who's going to be there for you? I won't make friends, don't need connections right now. You're putting a lot of hope in something. I don't know what it is. But I see Solomon appointing people, marrying his daughters to people, bringing David's friends in, surrounding himself with priests and religious people, connecting all these areas. And he has one of the most successful reigns ever on planet Earth. Wisest man ever lived. And I don't know what you're getting at, but when I read it, I see this. The guy understood connections. He understood connections. And I think as Christians, we should be wiser. So many verses. I mean, he talks about friendship. I'm careful here because we're going to jump into it this Wednesday or next Wednesday. But in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And then Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. I just want you to understand something. I think if you take scripture and you put it together, you're going to see this. Spirituality matters and relationships matter. They just do. And I think we need to cultivate and grow them to the best of our ability. I really do. I know the Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now listen, you're coming to church. I'm going to have to delicately handle this. I think you can find some of your best friends here, but it's work. You don't normally find friends sitting in a pew listening to pastor preach at you, and then you're going to walk out 5 minutes later. So I'm going to help you. That's not how that works. You're pretty much going to have to get involved in ministry and start getting involved in different places and start connecting. You have to start connecting. And you want to cultivate that. Why? You never know when you're going to need somebody. You never know. And that takes time. Friendships don't always happen right away. Sometimes they do. You look like a Jonathan and David, their hearts are knit. Boom! Yeah. But a lot of times, if we're honest, it takes time. But can I tell you, it's worth the work. You won't find perfection. It won't always be easy. But this I know. Everything I've ever studied, whether it be successful people in the Word of God, here's what I know. Those people that take the time to connect with people genuinely, genuinely connect with people, not through manipulation and using, but I mean genuinely connect and love people where they're at, forgive people, make relationships work, it's a great benefit to them in their life. And it may not be today, but one day, it could be the greatest thing you ever did. Greatest thing you ever did. So for me, maybe I'm a little off on this. But I don't think too far. How's that? My evaluation on this is I read through the story and I see who he placed and what and why they were there. I overwhelmingly see this. Hang out with spiritual people. Be spiritual yourself. And secure friendships. It's worth it. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. We thank you, praise you for your word. I pray, Lord, tonight would be a help to somebody.
Lord, I know these can be difficult passages, and we just see a list of names and trying to look at history and determine what the purpose was. And Lord, so through prayer and study, Lord, this is what you've given me. And Lord, I believe these truths line up with all of Scripture. I don't really debate that. But Lord, whether they're specifically found here or not, Lord, I pray that you'd help us and help us to open up our hearts and minds to receive the truth, Lord. May we be the people you want us to be. May we be spiritual people. And Lord, may we, through wisdom, surround ourselves with those people who are favored of you and those people who are spiritual. Lord, such wisdom to do such a thing as that, Lord. And Lord, it takes time. It's not an overnight or a month or anything, but Lord, keeping those connections, strengthening those connections, Lord, are such a good thing. Being a good friend, having friends, Lord, man, they're some of the greatest things in life. I could take a long time to share about the good friends, Lord, and the good family that you've given us, Lord, or the joy that we get from that, Lord, and the importance of it. Again, not just now, but in the future. So, Lord, we thank you for it. And, Lord, if that's all we get out of it, Lord, that we just thank you for those people you've placed in our life. And, Lord, we do our best to be a friend to them, Lord, and then that'll be worth the message as well. Whatever the need is, Lord, we're going to close the day out now and time of invitation and prayer to you. And we pray that you bless as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a verse or two of invitation. If God's spoken to you, we'll close out the day. We'll sing our normal, Just As I Am. You sing a verse or two, and then we'll end.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
Hope you have a good week. I saw the back door open as someone was leaving, and for the first time in months, well, there was sunshine on a Sunday night. You know, it's not black and dark or anything like that, and I know the kids are excited about that and get to play out a little bit, fellowship a little bit. That'll be really good. So we've got a leadership meeting upstairs in about 5 minutes with our leaders and our building committee, and so if you're part of that, if you'll join me for that, that would be great. So Brother Brian, if you'll come dismiss us in word of prayer, sir, that would be good.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word, for your truth, Lord. We just love you and praise you for all that you do for us. Lord, just pray that you be with each and every family tonight. Help us to leave your house tonight, Lord, with these thoughts in our minds, to be friendly, Lord, to surround ourselves around godly people that love you, Lord, that we might walk with you in the light of this of your love, Lord, to shine in this dark world. And God, just bring us back at the next appointed time. Bless the meeting that's fixing to take place. Give wisdom and discernment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor John Waterloo. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of the service. I hope one day you can connect with us here in our church service as well. That'd be such a great blessing. We'd also like to let you know about just some other resources we have. You can jump on our Facebook page or our website, wherever you'd like, to find out about our ministries. But again, we'd love to have you join with us one day. Thank you so much for being in our services, and may the Lord bless you.